Hello and welcome to Nikon Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest Nikon news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Konstantin here.
And this is Becky.
And here I thought we're not going to have podcast again. And now prepare yourself for about 3 hours. I say our avatar, second or first length podcast.
Something wrong with my microphone. One second. Okay.
Cancel all your plans and all your trips, your holidays, and forget your loved ones, because Nikon Report is in a full swing again.
It is. And first up, we have to talk about this thing, which we thought we'd gotten over, but we still have to talk about it. This is the update on the Z8 strap lugs repairs. And we have a little excerpt here from Tom Hogan, who has given us some salient points to cover just for you. So, I mean, he didn't give them to us, but we took them from his website.
But it seems like Tom Hogan has the most information than anyone else on this issue at the moment. So it's good to know what he says.
That's right. So he said, 1, Nikon verified the strap lug problem and fix in July. 2, Nikon subsidiaries started repairing Z8 strap lugs with any unit in-house for other repairs prior to announcing the service advisory. In the US, it appears that cameras are being serviced sometime during the last week of July. You should see a RPR eyelets line on your invoice if they did.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. So if you had your camera for the first advisory and then came back to do check for the paperwork that was supplied with your camera.
Just in case. 3, Nikon USA issued the new service advisory for the strap lugs on August 7th. The reasons for the delay were a lot of logistical things that had to happen at the subsidiaries, including web page, database, and other items that had to be updated and tested. 4, beginning August 7th, those of you perform the serial number check and then complete the service request process are put into a first come, first served queue. UPS shipping labels are being sent out to those in the queue as service availability happens. They can't fix all cameras at once, nor do you want all Z8s stacked in a room waiting repair.
So basically, scheduling becomes a priority, and whoever booked it first, they would get their labels first. That means that some people would have to wait for several weeks. And as Tom points out in previous articles, he says it may become a scheduling issue. And what he says, if you have to wait for your return labels, maybe don't use the lugs and maybe use something else attached to your camera to avoid any potential danger.
Yeah. Just better to be safe than sorry. He says, as far as I can tell, NPS requests do not get priority for shipping labels at the moment, though I do believe that properly marked NPS boxes may get prioritization once already at Nikon USA, which is an interesting observation, but obviously not necessarily borne out in fact.
Mm-hmm.
He then says, 5, the actual repair process is reasonably quick and straightforward. While it requires some disassembly, this is a basic known process, just lots of screws and cables that have to be dealt with prior to get access to the lug locking pins themselves. At least one report says that the simple mount repairs take about an hour, while the strap lug repairs take 3 hours. Haven't been able to verify those timings or the exact process being used, however.
So it sounds like those technicians are going to be busy for quite some time.
Busy, busy bees. And then 6, once your repair is completed, the camera has to be logged through the completion step at Nikon and packed up. I've noted in the past that often the email telling you about the shipment back to you happens after the shipment has already gone out. So a little bit of admin fancy footwork going on there.
Yeah, in his previous articles, he also said that he has 2 Z8s at the moment with the 10,000s between the serial numbers.
Mm.
And both are affected. So he thinks that it's actually a widespread issue. Again, we're talking about that not actual failed examples, but it seems like all those serial numbers Nikon consider to be affected and definitely need to be looked at. So keep that in mind. And that means that, yes, scheduling of your service may become an issue for some of you. So you may need to wait.
Yes. Now, here's the interesting thing. Our Z8
is not affected.
Not affected. It's not every camera, because Tom did say he saw every camera being shipped was just marked as affected. Apparently not the case, because we have one here.
Yeah. Our camera came 2 months after the release of Z8.
Not as late as that, even. It's a second batch, I think, this one.
It's a second batch.
Second batch. Just to wrap up Tom's article, he says, finally, if you haven't bought your Z8, you shouldn't worry about these problems. The next inbound shipment of Z8s appeared to have been delayed. We can vouch for that. And the factory in Thailand now has procedures in place to check for both issues. Units arriving in the US either later this month or in early September should be free of any service advisory issues. So fret not. If you haven't bought a Z8 yet, it will be fine when it comes. If you've already bought a Z8, check the serial number, pop yourself in the queue if it's affected, and it will be handled as quickly as Nikon can do it.
And as we mentioned on our live stream last week, so when the service advisory happened, we were on the phone with Nikon to make sure that any existing stock, which we didn't have any in stock anyway, would go back to Nikon. So whatever the next shipment comes in, it won't have that issue. So don't worry about that.
There you go.
Now, moving on to some other news, I think that was important to have those updates in place and have this timeline in place. So you don't really see that information on a rumor website, as you can see. So, but I'm glad that Tom put some info out. So hopefully we can be a little bit more confident in the way that Nikon is handling the issue. Now, to the other news, D780 had a firmware update to version 1.1.
Yes, and this added support for the iOS edition of NX Mobile Air. Now, you have to use Mobile Air version 1.0.4 or later for this to work, and it also fixed the following issues. The camera sometimes stopped responding if auto was selected for photo shooting menu set picture control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had auto picture control on, the camera would stop responding. That's an issue. Okay.
Subject tracking autofocus could not be used in video mode when certain resolutions were selected. In this case, it would be 1080p at 100 frames per second or 120 frames per second. So at this point, you actually can select those and have autofocus tracking, which I think is actually a good update. I mean, it's not like D780 was famous for video functionality, but having this feature enabled after quite a few years since the release of the camera, I think is pretty good.
That's right. And there was a final interesting one, which was that the camera was unable to focus with autofocus if an 80 to 400, 4.5 to 5.6D VR AF lens was attached and the lens vibration reduction switch was turned on and off. So the 80 to 400 D version is a much earlier lens. Mm. I mean, we're talking pre-AFS VR version. It was notoriously slow to focus anyway. But interesting that they tackled this, because I do recall it being an issue for maybe one person who had that lens and was trying to use it on the D780. So glad that they have managed to fix those issues. If you need to do the update, we've included the link for you in the description box to make your life a little bit easier.
Now, there's a time you've all been waiting for. Nikon released their financial results for the first quarter of the year ending in March 2024. The challenge for us is to complete this bit in about 5 minutes. Can we do that?
Talk really, really fast.
Exactly. So let's go to the first page of the report. The revenue was 158.1 billion yen, up to 12.5 billion yen. Operation profit is 3.2 billion, which is down 12.1 billion year on year. Revenue up on strong sales in the imaging products and the healthcare business and consolidation of SLM in the digital manufacturing process. SLM is the additive manufacturing company that Nikon acquired last year. So that's to do with that.
Good point.
So now going to imaging business, we can see that revenue was 74.4 billion yen, which was 13.2 billion yen up compared to the previous year. Operating profit is 15.3 billion yen, which is 1.7 billion up, which is really good. Digital camera interchangeable lenses, so sold units in that quarter was 220,000 and 330,000 lenses were sold, which is a pretty good number.
In addition to an increase in sales volumes of mirrorless cameras centered on the Z8 and Z30, average selling price rose due to the shift toward mid/high-end cameras. Revenue and profit also increased with help from a weaker yen.
Yeah, talking about those cameras weren't mid.
It's a bit mid.
It's a bit mid,
it's a bit,
you know.
So,
but what wasn't mid is Z8 release, I think. But Z30, though, I'm surprised Z30 is there, which means it seems like it's been selling well for Nikon. I mean, we didn't see that in our store, but it seems like worldwide sales are pretty good on that one.
Well, good for them.
Good for them. In terms of forecasts, obviously, you can have a look at the slides in the links that we supplied. But what's interesting, that imaging business, they're expecting to increase their revenue by 10 billion and also their operating profit by 3 billion compared to previous period. That's to do with increased sales and volume forecast. So they just expect to sell more units overall of cameras and lenses.
Oh, good. In their forecast for the year, which is going to end on the 31st of March 2024, they've said growth trends in the market for digital camera interchangeable lens type are greater than previous forecasts.
Okay, so that means just rising sales overall of volume, including cameras and lenses, effectively.
Yay. Then they said raising our sales volume forecast of digital camera interchangeable lens type and interchangeable lens to reflect our good sales condition, centering on our new products, such as the Z8. So basically, they're putting a lot of stock into the success of the Z8.
Yeah. And I mean, if you start to think that the new products that you will release, which is, again, the rumored retro camera, which is expected any second now, and we do get an hourly update of their specifications. Yeah, I mean, that could potentially sell one or two units for them, you know. So, and who knows, then we'll be on track for the Gen 3 of Z6 and Z7 cameras.
Yeah. Now, they've also said that in the business segment and major products, they're still listing the Z8 and the Z30 as major products, as well as Nikkor lenses and, unsurprisingly, the 180 to 600, which we are yet to see, but we already know it's going to be a huge success considering just the volume of pre-orders we've had for it.
You know, just looking at the Z30 as one of their flagships and very important products, I personally think that we will see Z3 at some point, you know, because it also makes sense to release a similar camera in the full frame format with a video functionality. I do hope it's going to have a better video functionality than the 30, but it seems like it's not the matter if, it's the matter when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we break down the first quarter of the year in terms of revenue, imaging products made up 47% of it.
Which basically tells them that the imaging division is their biggest division overall.
Yeah, which is actually a considerable change from previous years, I've realized. I mean, based on our previous reports on financial reports.
That's true, yeah.
This is a high figure. It's never been almost half of their revenue. So
that's true.
They're doing something right.
Absolutely. And then if you look into regions, then United States make up of 26% of sales, Europe is 20, China is 21, Japan is 17, and others 16. So if you do combine Asia, then it actually becomes 38%, which is their biggest sector. And if you see what Nikon is doing in China at the moment, like creating those special Nikon branded stores, as well as going to their exhibitions, it seems like that Nikon sees a huge opportunity of selling their cameras in China.
Indeed. Now, in terms of R&D expenditures, they are forecasting 28% of their revenue to go towards R&D for imaging products.
Which I think is a little bit higher than previously as well.
Just by a couple of percent, but that's good. But the only thing more than that is precision equipment.
Yeah, and then coming back to their equipment sales, it seems like that their camera sales have increased. The only higher number we have is in first quarter of year ending in 2023, so which is interesting. And then the lenses, it's pretty much their best since Q1 2022. So remember, this one is Q1 2024. While we're in 2023, it's actually Q1 in 2024 because the financial year will end in 2024. Mm. That's why it may sound a bit confusing. So here, the interim reports, it seems like they are making more money year to year, which is really good. Their share price to date is higher from year to date. So it starts about £8.50. It's about $11 at the moment. And we saw some highs of $13.50 as well. So I guess if you invest there, those good numbers to have, it's a good growth to have from year to date. We're only in 8 months of the year, which is pretty good. So you're looking at what, something like 20% growth, even at the current price. They also released a Q&A, which they normally publish a couple of days after the financial report comes out. And normally they do have one or two questions with regards to imaging business.
The single question was, the imaging business has been revised upwards, but do you think there is room for further upward revisions considering factors such as the Z8, which is selling well? And they said, our products are highly rated by our customers and our market share is steadily recovering, especially in China. Although we are aware of concerns about economic slowdown, the digital camera market is doing well. Young people who are not satisfied with the functions of smartphones have purchased high-end models such as the Z9 and Z8. What are these people earning?
New money, who knows?
Seriously. And I feel that we are entering an era in which digital cameras and smartphones coexist.
Now, this is the punchline. This is what a lot of websites came out with. That Nikon says that we are now reaching the point where one doesn't kill another one.
Right.
Coexist. What I think is happening is obviously we shrunk to the point where now we're expanding.
Hmm.
We're not going to reach the highs of the pre-smartphone numbers.
No.
But we'll steadily increase, and people who have their phone in a pocket may start to look for something slightly better with a better image quality. And that's where all the companies like Nikon are going to come in and 5 for the smartphone user.
Right. So they have said, in addition, we expect an increase in demand for digital cameras due to the increased demand for travel after COVID-19. Mm. On the other hand, we anticipate that the competitive environment will become more severe in the second half due to the normalization of supply and demand in the market as a whole. So we plan to increase sales promotion expenses. Good. So expect more promotions.
Promotions and sales are actually a good way to increase your bottom line.
Yes.
To sell the units and the volume that you produce. So I think that's a pretty good thing. And obviously, your top-selling products won't need a discount because that way they sell themselves. Now, I think we probably will revise our forecast even more later on in the upward trajectory, just because, yeah, if we include the retro camera, if we include the Gen 3 cameras, I think that should push the volume of sales up for Nikon.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at obviously at the release of 180-600, which hopefully coming next month, that could be a good seller as well. What do you think? 5 minutes? Yeah, more or less?
I think it took us a bit longer than 5 minutes.
All right, now from boring parts to rumors territory. And now we have an hourly update of ZF rumors for you. First one up, there's a report of Nikon rumors thinking that the videos they saw, and they saw some retro camera there, it could be potentially ZF. What do you think, Becky? Could it be ZF? Could it be ZFC? All I can see that it has something like a 40mm or 28mm on it.
Well, when you look at it in that first image, it looks like it could be a digital camera. But when I look at the second image, to me, it looks like an FM2N, let's say, with a potentially a 50 1/8. It's really hard to tell.
All right. Well, one of the points that why this could be a new potential Nikon ZF, it says that this channel, Lynx TV, has produced several videos for Nikon Z8 launch a few months ago. So for them to have early access to Nikon ZF is plausible.
Right.
So it seems like a retro camera will look similar like this. Is it an actual ZF? I don't know.
Neither do I. It's so far-fetched. I mean, okay, maybe in this image here, like this image, I think, oh, yeah, maybe, but it's got the writing around the front. Does the 28 have the writing around
the front? No, it's difficult. It's actually difficult to say. Anyway, we've included a link to the actual video. The whole thing starts about 1 minute 58 mark. So have a look at that and, yeah, decide for yourself. Now, the hourly update on ZF specifications. What do we know now? Apparently, the camera will have 2 memory card slots now. People think it could be SD and micro SD card.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, it's one way to have 2 memory cards, and I haven't seen micro SD cards in Nikon mirrorless lineup. They did have a micro SD cards on their Coolpix cameras.
Yeah, and Nikon One.
Exactly. Do you think we're going to go to that territory? I mean, it's a one way to do this. Obviously, it's not the best way to do this, but I guess it's eliminate the question of, oh, I need a backup because, you know, I'm a professional photographer.
Well, those micro SD cards don't take up a huge amount of space in the camera. So I suppose that would be the logic. It's keeping the size down while still offering the option of a second card slot. I'm not wildly enthusiastic about it, if I'm completely honest. The thought of micro SD just frustrates me because those cards are so tiny and so easily lost, but one could just put one in and leave it there.
Exactly.
As the occasional potential need for a backup.
Here's the question for you. Would you rather have a micro SD second slot or just a one slot SD slot?
For me, it wouldn't.
Would you rather have 2 or 1 just because?
I'm totally fine with 1 card slot. Like, really? I'm not one of those people that freaks. I'm a Z6 owner. I have 1 card slot. I survive.
And you survive. No memory card failed on you.
No. So I think I'll be okay. I've never had, touch wood, an SD card fail on me either. But, you know, there's a first time for everything. So I do understand the need for having the second card slot.
That's true.
It's interesting.
I would personally take 2. Just for the reason it's like, okay, at least there's a second one, just for the peace of mind. But talking of need for speed, I think that the problem with obviously micro SD cards is their speed and they're quite slow. So again, probably not camera for sports and wildlife photographers, let's be honest here. So I don't see that as a valid complaint, but yeah, if you need a backup, I guess it's better to have one than nothing. Now, another interesting thing is we finally have a rumor of a black body. So because, I mean, we didn't discuss if it's going to be silver or black.
No.
What's your personal preference?
I know what yours is. Khan only owns black film cameras if he can. So
yeah,
I think
unless
it's,
there's only silver one available, yeah. I have to buy it just because.
Just because. Anyway, I quite like the chrome finish, but I prefer chrome finish if it's a metal chrome. Mm-hmm. Like the ZFC, for example, is not metal. The DF was not metal. So I felt like that kind of, in a way, slightly cheapened it.
Mm-hmm.
The black finish has always been very, very nice. I think that there's something kind of slightly premium. The black ZFC looks incredible, for example.
Yeah, and that's what I didn't like about it. The ZFC, as well as ZF, didn't look the part in terms of build quality in the silver. It just felt a little bit more plasticky. And the black one looked much better. So I personally think that A, we're going to get better materials in black and silver. And B, we're going to get a black one available to everyone, not just a Nikon store only thing. You know, we forgot to say about this, but if this happens again, I'm going to go on strike. You know.
Not going to be a happy bunny.
I'm going to be standing in front of Nikon HQ in Tokyo. But yeah, we need a budget for that. Can I get the tickets approved?
So you can go on strike.
Exactly. Because one of the things that I think that the black one, if Nikon would release black ZFC to everyone, it would sell more than it would sell just from Nikon Direct, their own store. And second of all, I think black and silver, release them, let them be, they will sell themselves. There's no point of gatekeeping it to a certain specific stores. Now, in terms of this, I would personally prefer black over the silver one, at least if you have to release one, let's release black. Now, second of all, do you think they're going to have all those leatherette things that you can order if you buy directly from Nikon?
Oh, different colors?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the famous mint green and the Scheisse brown one.
The bubblegum pink.
Exactly.
I kind of hope not, but maybe they'll just do it for the Asian market because the black one, for example, with the dark red and the sort of dark brown, they had different colors to the chrome version. Mm-hmm. They were much more muted colors. Like the navy one was quite nice. I think it was called like a denim color or something. Yeah. So I think that for some markets, that's really, really appealing. And historically, we have had an option for at least one other colorway. Mm-hmm. Maybe that will be their Nikon store exclusive.
Yeah, and I don't mind that as long as we have the two main cameras in black and silver available to regular dealers.
Yeah.
Like ourselves. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things where, let's say, Leica has some Mickey Mouse edition of things, so why not have your Nikon ZF in a beautiful mint green, let's say, you know? Maybe even laser etch some drawings on it. That could be quite cool. I mean, the world is your oyster, Nikon, really.
Want a Disney version, is
yeah, so, you know, so who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe you're going to see something like this. But I think, yeah, this stuff, I don't mind to be exclusive only to Nikon store, because then that's where if you want to pimp up your camera a little bit, then you can go there and order it directly. At this point, you can even buy your camera from dealer and then send your camera to Nikon to do that. I think that would be great. Now, the weight is 700 gram, which is apparently is heavier than Z5, which is at 590, and heavier than Z6 Mark II at 615 grams. This, if this is true, tells me that it might have some premium materials on it. Fingers crossed. What do you think?
I think it would make sense if it is going to be a premium camera that they might make it a bit more metal, might make it a bit more robust, which would make it heavier. Although if that's the weight, then why the micro SD card slot? Do you see what I mean?
Like, yeah, but I think
give us two SD cards.
Yeah, give us CF Express slot. Why not Nikon?
Well, that's bigger. That takes up more space.
Yeah. So yeah, tell us what you think. Are you happy with your newest hourly updates on Nikon ZF? And would you like a black one over silver one, or silver one is the goat? Let us know in the comments below.
And is the goat.
Yeah.
The goat.
All right.
Moving on, the Nikon booth at the 2023 Photo and Imaging Show in Shanghai.
I'm glad that, Becky, you're finally learning Chinese. Remember when we talked about Nikon push for sales in China? Building the stores, the branded stores, and overall just increasing their marketing expense in China. Well, here we go. There's a big photo exhibition in China, and here are the pictures from the stand and all those wonderful people trying Nikon cameras and lenses.
Beautiful.
Exactly. So hopefully something that we will see at Photo Show in Birmingham next year. Birmingham.
Now, Nikon announced the return of their YouTube series, Nikon Sessions, for a second season.
Yes!
That's what you've all been waiting for. Now, following the success of its first season, the series is hosted by Rishi, our friend Rishi Scherer, training specialist at Nikon School, who will showcase some of the best Nikon photographers, creators, ambassadors, educators, and staff, many of whom have collaborated to discuss their much-loved genre of photography. The new season will consist of 6 episodes featuring inspiring and educational discussions from the technicalities of their independent photography styles to passion and drive behind the work that they do. And the episodes will air every 2 weeks starting Monday, the 14th of August, which by the time this goes out will have already happened.
Yeah, I personally think it's the most important Nikon's announcement of this year. And I'm just waiting for the next season of House of Dragons and second season of Nikon Sessions. It's two of my things to watch. I'll cancel all my plans when this happens.
You totally should.
On to third party news.
Excellent. Some exciting news now for you. We're excited. TT Artisan have announced a 100mm f2.8 2x bubble bokeh full frame macro lens. It's currently only available in the M42 mount, so you would need an adapter to use it on your Z or F mount camera. And the interesting thing is it is very similar to the MyOptic lens that is much more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on designs of lenses that were released 100 years old. And you can still buy them, but obviously they're old, they're a little bit more expensive, and they probably will require a bit of servicing. But the feature of this lens is this special bubblicious bokeh. And if you can see the examples of those, they just look lovely. Now, the current version of the same lens from Meyer Optics costs €999, which is quite expensive if you want to get that effect. I mean, for me personally, I would love to try this lens.
But not for £1,000.
Not for £1,000. So this one is only $155. Obviously, M42 mount is very easily adaptable. And I'm pretty sure that TT Artisan at some point will release a specific mount, let's say for Nikon Z and F mount. So for $155, I think I personally might order one myself. And, you know, the rendering is very special. It's obviously not going to be your main lens, but it's great for portraiture. It's got the macro capabilities and it creates very special effects. Again, character over clinical rendering. And again, something like $155, something you can have in your pocket as a special effect. I'll take this lens over Lens Baby any day.
Good. For your weekend read and watch, we have Matt Irwin out in the field. So he's done the 85 1.2 S lens, king of B-roll / bokeh, importance of B-roll, cinematic, in the field. Like, all the keywords that you need are in that title.
Absolutely.
And it's fantastic.
It's not just him, there's his friend as well. And they definitely having a great time on their scooters. So definitely have a look at this. It's beautiful, relaxing video. Now, if you want a long phone video, then if you have an Amazon Prime and you are in UK and potentially in the United States, the An Impossible Project documentary is finally available for free to watch for people who have Prime.
So you watched it on the weekend and you enjoyed it?
I really enjoyed it. I think it just shows that, first of all, as people, we are dreamers. And it takes one dreamer to make certain things happen. And if one individual wouldn't do what he did, we probably wouldn't have Polaroid emotions nowadays.
Right.
You know, it's as simple as that. But it's not just that. There's more to that. So definitely have a look at that.
I am very much looking forward to watching that. So thanks for that tip.
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching and or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to us wherever you get your podcasts, please give us a rating, a follow, a review, all that stuff. It helps massive.
Yeah, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, YouTube Podcasts, you name it. And do definitely leave us a review there because it helps the podcast to reach more people like yourselves.
It does. And if you'd like to find us on the internet, you can find us on Instagram. I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Grays.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin.
Next week, we have a slightly different format of video for you. We haven't figured out what it is yet, so watch this space.
We will see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye.